I'm listening to the show every morning, and you can say it's grand. It's not grand if you're not on it, though.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Some talent in Cork, isn't there? Wow. A few of the GAA boys weren't happy, but it was my sporting hero. I was contesting, I think, against Jimmy Barry Murphy. So once you're in that company, everything is good.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
It's very, very special. Believe me, I think it becomes more special when you're on the coach, because it's something, unfortunately, inside me that's ultra competitive, and I need to be there.
Catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM on the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
But I'm delighted to say now that the Deputy Chief Executive of the FAI, Niall Quinn, is with us on the line. Good morning to you, Niall. How are things?
How are you guys? Yeah, good, thanks. How are you all?
Very well. So just a couple of things, we'll get straight into it. It's obviously been a fairly busy week for yourself, for the League of Ireland, been a few steering groups meeting this week. Can you just, first of all, outline what the main discussion points for you and the association have been this week, and what's been up for talk and what's been achieved?
Well, I think the story you want to hear is about the League of Ireland and the work that's gone on behind the scenes. But I can assure you there's work going on grassroots, just as much other parts in governance, etc. So the FAI is very busy and active at the moment. You mentioned steering groups. I'm on 11, and they're all meeting fairly regularly in COVID-19. And we are, you know, trying very hard to make sure that we give enough time to all of our constituents. But the stuff that makes the newspapers or the topical stuff, of course, is the League of Ireland, whether that can come back through a behind-closed-doors format or not. And that's taken up a lot of time, I will admit that. We're also speaking to the clubs about the bigger picture of a new participation agreement that would see, I suppose, the clubs feeling a lot more comfortable about life working with the FAI and how the leagues might go in the future. So that debate has started, and there's unity there, and that's quite good. And we have a lot of constituents and stakeholders who will, you know, be involved in that in some way or not just the League of Ireland clubs. So how our young players and the elite game, you know, accepts them in, and how our, you know, I suppose our feeder clubs, if you want to call them that, are compensated, etc. So there's lots of stuff going on, but I guess you guys want to talk more about the League of Ireland.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned there that building up a bit of a comfort working with the FAI is one of the points on the agenda, and that is just of such high importance at the moment, given all the risks that come with the current crisis. How well have things developed to the point where you think that the League of Ireland clubs are actually comfortable now and trust the FAI to actually take them in the right direction?
Well, I think one of the things we did, I suppose, was to, you know, hand over the document to them and say, okay, guys, what would it look like, you know, in your world if it was perfect, and let's see if we can work together on that and drive forward. And we're in that process now, so I think that's something that will be worked on quite quickly. You know, I think the clubs will have their say. They will have grievances, of course, and there's a lack of trust for what went on before. We get that. So this isn't a simple process. But at the same time, I think if the criteria is strong, if everybody is pushing for the league to go into a better place and not just survive, and if, as I say, the pathway of young boys and young girls is secure, and if the clubs commit to community activity, and if they commit to a programme that would see improved facilities, and women's football needs to be just as important, and all the other stuff, the commercial conversations, everything else will fall into place. And that's where we're going. We're just working through that and how terms of reference can be drawn up between us that we can go on a good journey. And then, of course, you have the added intricacies of the All-Ireland League that is much talked about as well. So there's plenty there, and we're getting through it as well as we can. But I'd like to think the spirit is good. The clubs are all taking part at this point, so you know you would have all 19 clubs present at every meeting so far. We meet every Thursday, and it's not just we meet and say nothing till the next week. A lot of activity then takes place from Thursday to Thursday, and I'm quite confident that, you know, that's going to stay on a good course, and we'll get to a participation agreement that, you know, everybody is happy with, and we move on together.
two things on the you mentioned the All-Ireland League. Niall, the Cairn Lucid interest obviously has been over the last year and a bit. The Hypercube stuff that has come through this week as well. And we see Derry City last night coming out in full support of that. Firstly, in terms of your own outlook, is it very much your belief that you want the League of Ireland to remain under the auspices of the FAI, or do you view it as an opportunity with some of these outside investors coming in to actually cut it loose, and maybe there's a better scenario for the League of Ireland over there in the first instance? And then secondly, I know you mentioned on the League of Ireland podcast this week about a guaranteed pot for the league going forward, and a lot of this conversation obviously does boil down to the cash, sure, I suppose, and where it comes from. Secondly, where is that cash going to come from?
Okay, well, in relation to the All-Ireland League, you know, first of all, the starting point for the FAI is we must be in dialogue with our counterparts for this to go anywhere, and hope that that the IFA see it fit to at least discuss what it all might look like, and even how that conversation starts. So we're at a very early point of the whole process, if you like. But we wouldn't be shy in saying we think it looks outstanding in terms of comparing it to where we have been in the past. It looks, it's bold, but it's also, you know, very well stocked with good ideas, good insight, and of course, but like everything, you know, the certainty will be around, the true financial audit. But I think, and obviously by that I mean, you know, that will the things that they say may happen, will they actually happen? But of course, that's long after, you know, the most important part, and that's it, finding a place with the IFA that we don't offend, the Football Association up in the north, and that they feel it's right and appropriate. You know, there's a bit of talking to be done, I would say, and I would hope that those talks at least start. You know, that I think that's about as much as I would say in it at this point.
Are they reluctant, Niall? Can I take that from what you're saying?
No, absolutely. That's not the point. We just haven't had the format to literally sit around the table, and we won't. We'll be doing like everybody else does, perhaps, if that does happen. But you know, we're looking at that, and they possibly they're looking at it as well, and we'll have a little bit more information on that in time. There's been a brief contact, but I just don't want to get people carried away. Big headlines don't help in a situation like this. You know.
And would you rather, just for clarity on your own side, would you rather it did stay within the FAI auspices then?
So I'm. You'll see, if you look back on any of the quotes that I made even before I came in here, anything that improves the game has to be looked at. And I think that's why we're anxious to have the conversations with the IFA to see, you know, is this right for both of us? Because it actually looks right. And would I be jumping up and down with a big banner saying it has to come in? No, I think there's sensitivities around it which would prevent me from doing that. But let's put it this way. We like the spirit of it. We like the work that's gone in as an association, and we think it should definitely be discussed. So that's as far as I would go on it. I can't say I'm a raging fan, because that would lead you the wrong way, that we've gone too far down the road. It's baby steps, but we're very comfortable with it at this point.
Okay, and just in terms of the cash then, like that guaranteed pot that you spoke about and the funding, where is the money going to come from?
Okay, well, first of all...
In the short term,
for behind closed doors. Okay, I'll lead that into question that actually the most important thing is the medical safety of players, officials, etc., and anyone who would attend the games, the people in charge of the production to get the TV pictures, etc., and the streaming pictures, and all other necessary components of that, the medical staff that would be in place, and also the build-up in terms of players being tested, making sure the environment is safe. So that's priority number one. Priority number two was working out what all that would cost, how could it all be implemented, and then on top of that, how can we look at getting the clubs some form of incentive to say, yeah, it was good to come back and play. So as we spoke to the clubs yesterday, and some reports have appeared in the paper today, not wholly accurate, but we have outlined where that whole medical procedure, A, can be paid for, and we visibility of that, but B, that we take the onus of responsibility away from the clubs in actually producing it and delivering it. So by moving to stadiums and playing games regularly in the one stadium with the one professional team, you know, both cleansing and making sure medical protocols are taken, we've got the the ability to do that, bearing in mind with conversations we've had with three stadiums. So that's a start. Taking that onus of responsibility away from volunteers at clubs, you know, that they had to somehow secure stadiums medically. That was a big help, and that was a big worry for clubs. To see the visibility of that being paid for, that's quite good. I'll mention streaming now, just to add to it. Streaming would see a lot of production costs and a lot of effort being put in to get every game as that's going to be played, if it is played, out there with a potential of revenue coming in. Now, what we've done on that, again, we see visibility of the cost of that. So we've got the medical side of it done, and now we're saying we have the cost, everything it would take to get it out there. If we received zero and nobody watched a streaming game, we have it paid for. We have the medical side paid for. Now the next bit to look at, which didn't receive a lot of input, the next is the club's costs. And is it worth it for them to come back and play in this situation, bearing in mind, you know, player salaries, etc. And if that's somewhere where we can get to, then great, because they all have different ideas of what they need for that. And some get a little bit confused thinking, oh, well, you have to pay season ticket holders back. You have that issue anyway. So this is, you know, the incremental issue that if you had the games, what would it mean to you? And can we make it better for you in the overall context of the position you're in now to play these matches? And that being the way, you know, that there's a possible return from streaming, but we're not factoring it in. But we are looking at ways of getting, I suppose, more money into the pot to ease the club's worries on that front. And rather than, you know, people are putting figures out in the papers, money, rather than give those figures out and you know, I suppose, have a challenge going on in public, we're just working very hard behind the scenes to come to an amount where the clubs will feel it's all been really well put together and it's worth doing. And you know, there's two other reasons for doing it for us as well and for the clubs. The players. You know, the players are the stars of the show here, and they have sometimes been forgotten in this debate. You know, some of them have been let go from some of the clubs. Others are very worried. It's tough, you know, the contract situation. If we don't play the games, what happens? And how do we dig the brand out of, you know, of the ground next year if we have to wait till next February with all these contracts gone? You know, it becomes very messy. So we as an association believe it's very important to try and get this done, to try and find a financial way to make it all possible. That perhaps, you know, the worst time ever with this pandemic. So it's not simple, and clubs are worried, and there is skepticism has been replaced by, okay, I need to see a little bit more now. You know, they're happier that we have a process going on that is working, you know, long hours to fulfill the criteria needed to get this going. But another reason for doing it as well, you know, the other sports then will see us out there. If we get out in July the 20th appears to be the first date to come back at this time. If we can get out there and we're starting sport again, I think it's important for the country and almost in a mental well-being play that they see sport at the level, you know, that we are in the League of Ireland, taking part, producing and getting back to some form of normality. And then, you know, you can see that follow on from that would be the other sports, but also importantly for us, our amateur sport and how all our, you know, our grassroots clubs and our amateur clubs can get back into play. We're doing lots of work on that as well. It doesn't make the headlines, but we will have some, you know, some declarations on that shortly too. So are we there with the medical go-ahead? No, and we can't outrun government or HSE on this, but we are working very hard with them, and we feel we'll have more news on that in the coming days, which will make life a little bit clearer. And I suppose, you know, the finances, you've hit the nail on the head and say, you know, it has to be done. We're not there yet, and we haven't completed the journey on finalising the finances. So I don't think people should stop now and say, oh, what is it? I think they should give us a little bit more time to bring more certainty to the table so that clubs can make that decision whether it's worth it for them to go back or not.
Niall, you mentioned the other sports there and how it would be great for football to kind of lead the way in the country. I'd just be keen to get your views on what John Horan, the president of the GAA, said last weekend, that while social distancing is a thing in Ireland, he can't see Gaelic games going ahead because obviously you can't play GAA. Same for football, you can't play those sports while social distancing is, you can't play it in a social distanced manner. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have concerns for the safety of the players? Because Horan was certainly speaking from the standpoint of not wanting to put his players in any danger.
Absolutely, and that's a priority. And I, you know, tell you that the reports this morning that our players are very keen to get back, you may have seen that. It's very welcome, but we must protect them at all costs. And I do believe, you know, we're speaking from the same hymn sheet, although John did a very long interview, a very, very good interview, I thought. But we are working with the GAA and with the IRFU together in understanding when social distancing and contact can meet. Yeah. And that's a big question. And around that, there are many sub-questions. But again, we're looking for our government and HSC to tell us when that moment comes. And we're kind of ready to act on it. And that's the, you know, the big question. But there are tons of other questions just to make sure that we can ensure that safety that's needed for players, officials, referees. You know, they sometimes get forgotten about as well. But there will be a number of people at each game who are at risk. And what I would say to you is that, you know, we've done everything we believe we can to ensure that safety should we get the go-ahead in terms of testing players, in terms of, you know, the whole medical requirement for staging a game in this circumstance. We feel we have visibility on the cost of implementing that. So we can implement it. It's just, can we envisage a corner kick being taken and 16 people in the box at the one time before the ball comes over? Will government let us do that? And that's a kind of a simple explanation, and there's lots of sub-questions to that. But that's as good a way as I can point it out to you.
From an overall point of view, Niall, I'd say it's pretty obvious that a pandemic is the last thing that the FAI needed at this point, given what had happened earlier in the year, given the financial package that was agreed of €20 million across 3 years. Like, one of the questions that I would have is that automatically still going to be enough? I know we're still at the very early stages of this. We don't know the full financial impact this is going to have on our economy and to the livelihoods of everybody around the country. But are you concerned at all about that financial rescue package, that might not be enough to actually take the FAI out of the danger zone?
Well, you also have to look at the fact that we've put our entire staff, on 50% wage deferrals. So, you know, it is a big worry. We didn't inherit a great situation, but what I would say is I'm delighted that we got the ability to bring money and new money into the association via the deal with Bank of Ireland, and also we have the government deal that you spoke about, which we're putting the finishing touches to in terms of the governance around that, and as you know, UEFA gave us some help as well. So without that, I'd hate to think where we'd be. And the fact that that was done before the pandemic, you know, was a real blessing looking back. Thankfully, that happened. There are big challenges. Of course, there are. You know, at this point, we were hoping we might even be getting ready for Euros with big money coming in at the time when you were doing those conversations with government. We were also looking at international matches with full houses and what have you. So there's a big challenge in place. But we believe we can get there, and we think unity in the game would be a fabulous outcome of this if we survive it with unity and go stronger. I think always in times of crisis there's opportunity, and that's something that we're holding on to and clinging on to, and hope the clubs do too. But we get the impression that at the top end game with the League of Ireland and in the provinces with our amateur game, that there is more unity coming into play, and people want to see this go the right journey, and we'll lead that, and hopefully we'll overcome those challenges that you mentioned.
Yeah, and then just one other one I had on that, Niall, was when you're looking for alternative revenue streams at the moment, and when your initial revenue streams come from people going through the turnstiles, that is a huge part of how the FAI and the League of Ireland clubs are financed. We are starting to see the likes of the advertising market collapse a little bit in terms of advertisers not wanting to spend money. Mm-hmm. That, I presume, you know, I know you don't want to reveal any particular deals that you have potentially in the pipeline, but I presume it's something along those lines that might actually be in the pipeline. Have you found a reluctance from people to actually spend money and thereby actually halt what you're hoping to do in terms of actually getting more new revenue streams into the FAI?
Well, it depends where we're looking and searching for revenue streams. So, as I kind of said the other day, I don't really want to disclose that. But I think one thing I must point out very quickly, that we're talking about the SSE Electricity League, and that won't change. You know, and they've been very good to us for a long period of time, and they'll be by our side in this journey if we can make it. So that's important to know, that this is their league, and whatever we do in terms of how it's completed, be it a shortened season or whatever way it works, it's an SSE Electricity play, and we're delighted about that. They've been great to us. So the areas that we're trying to look in, you know, and bring in extra revenue are outside that. and it's going quite well. But I don't want to put it in jeopardy because there's so much of the jigsaw still to click into place. But as we told the clubs yesterday, I think there was some accuracy in the papers this morning. We do see visibility of the medical costs being paid, and we do see the streaming output all paid. And, you know, if the government wage subsidy scheme stays in place, then it could start to look pretty attractive, I would hope, to the clubs, or it's getting nearer what attractive might look like. And, you know, if we can bring in other costs then and guarantee them, you know, then the streaming revenue becomes a bonus for the clubs. And that's the area we're trying to get to, and we're working very hard at it. If we could achieve that, you know, the 2 out of 10 of 3 weeks ago, the 7 out of 10 that it is today, that would move up the scale. And that's what we're working on, and pressurizing us to reveal how we're doing it is not good if we want to get a good outcome, you know.
And I can ask you, outside of the, obviously, the current, which is most of the conversation we've been having up to now in relation to, obviously, the impact of coronavirus and the finances and that sort of thing, it's probably a fair enough point to ask you. I think about 3.5 months into the job at this stage, and I wondered if the aftermath of the previous administration has surprised you, or has it been as you would expect it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that the people that work in the FAI that we came in to work with have been absolutely outstanding. And in the most difficult of times, coming through a horror show, but not just within the association, but publicly as well, you know, it was a really tough time for our staff. And boy, have they come out standing tall and strong in the last few months as we put new sort of procedures in place. And I think that will show itself in time. The pandemic probably got in the way of the public seeing that that growth and that I suppose that new feel that's around the place in terms of what our grassroots can deliver, you know, what our elite performance, high performance unit can deliver. And the international stuff, as you'll see, I mean, we were so impressed with what's going on in that whole international area in terms of where our underage teams are, how they're playing, that whole system that, you know, that now looks to be linked completely up to the top for the first time ever, with Stephen Kenny in the job, with Jim Crawford replacing him, with those other managers in underneath, Paul Ozam, Andy Reid, all these guys who are bringing our younger players internationally into great areas. Have a look at the rankings there if you don't believe me. Our under-21s have improved out of all recognition, and you have Stephen at the top end. So football being the key to what we all do, you know, I just want to emphasise that point, that we were really pleased to see almost a succession plan in terms of how football is played. And without being prompted, you know, without being prompted, Stephen, in his interview, which he's his own man, and nobody spoke to him about what he would talk about, he mentioned that what would success look like to him. And when he said success would be our schoolboy clubs, our boys and girls around the country playing like the Irish senior team and wanting to implement their way of playing, that the hairs went up my neck when I heard that. That's exactly it. That's the process that we need to do. You know, we need to get that in place. How do we do it? We create that identity by putting our international teams in on the one chart right the way through. And that's the exciting bit for me on the football, on the international level. The League of Ireland is going well in terms of the talks about, you know, regenerating how it's out there, and also the structure and the input that the clubs have. So that's going to be a game changer when we get out of this pandemic. In grassroots, we feel we really got to put an effort in there. They're reading and seeing everything in the paper going on about the league, about, you know, the Stephen Kenny. But there is work going on, but we have to prioritise that work now when we come through the pandemic and make the game great for everyone. That's the bit that really interests me, because I know the power of football and I know where that can go. On top of that, there's, you know, governance, which is not in my bag, thankfully. I suppose the corporate governance, etc., and structures of that, electoral reforms for committees. And again, it's not my piece, but there's a lot of work going on in that at the moment. And, you know, I'll just give you one highlight of that. People think, you know, I think there was reports there that there wasn't a lot going on there. Our procurement office within the FAI opened this week, which effectively means every penny that's spent in the FAI must go through a procurement that eventually makes its way up to the board, that makes its way to Sport Ireland, so that when taxpayers' money is spent, we can trace it to the penny of where it's gone. That wasn't in place before, and that's a shift that you know, in those 3 months that has happened as well. So there's lots to play for, you know, and joining all that up and making everybody feel good about that pathway, that storybook, if you like, that says this is what the FAI is, because what it started out 3 months ago None of us really knew what we were getting ourselves in for, those of us who came in here, but we're really encouraged, and confidence is there despite the pandemic that we'll come out of this stronger.
Yeah, and just finally and briefly, if you don't mind, I saw some stories this morning about jamming 8 international games into a window in November, December, Mixes Nations League, the playoff. I'm sure as a player you'd have been licking your lips at that, but your sense of the possibilities of that.
Look, we're kind of guided by UEFA, and that's probably where we are. And yes, we believe that, you know, the European qualifying games for our 4 clubs who have qualified is the starting point, really. Then you have the international matches, which may come thick and fast, as you say, behind closed doors again. You know, going back to our financial needs, that doesn't help. But it feels good to even talk about the possibility of matches taking place again. I think that's the bit that everybody, you know, I speak to, you know, people on the phone, a lot of people in the game ring me, and everybody says the same thing. Let's get it back on. Let's try and get the football back on. So no matter what task is put in front of us, I mean, obviously the players come into it. I can't highlight enough the A, the safety of the players, and B, that, you know, that we don't ask them to do too much, yeah, and get them back training in time, for instance, for the clubs. You know, I feel it's almost essential that we put everything we can into this, to getting sport back up and running. And so, you know, rather than continuously read the negative stuff and the doomsday stuff, you know, listen, our government has done a great job, HC have done a great job. We're itching for the go-ahead. And I think that's the bit that we have to be ready for. And as I look at the last few months, you know, we thought we'd have been in international matches at this point now. We'd have, you know, we hoped we'd have qualified and been playing in Euros. Obviously, we don't know that outcome. And it'll all start again, but it'll get back to normal one day. But we just have to be ready when that start comes, as odd as it will be, that we do it right. And if we do it right for the tournament, for, you know, the proposed tournament for our 4 League of Ireland clubs who have qualified for Europe, if we do that right, it will all go well for about how we go ahead with the rest of the game, and not just the League of Ireland clubs of our amateur game. And then as the internationals come, that we'll have had good input already into how that might work, you know, particularly with games at the Aviva or whatever, and we're fit and ready for them. But there's so many questions still to be answered, but we're here and we're doing what we can to do that.
Yeah, and listen, we appreciate you taking the time to chat to us this morning. Thanks a lot.
No, a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Niall Quinn on the line there, and we watch with interest, obviously, over the short term and again over the longer term as well.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.